Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, as you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. Cause the love around here is bound to make you fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the Gospel of John, where we've been focusing once again on John the Baptist as we see the importance of Jesus and why he must increase. So let's turn to John chapter 3, verse 22, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
And so Jesus has now left Jerusalem, and he's gone into the region of Judea. And his disciples have taken up the ministry of baptism. So there's some jealousy that develops on the part of the disciples of John. There's a dispute about purification. And then the disciples of John, they become zealous for their master. And they go to him and they present this situation. The one that you pointed to, he's baptizing, and now everybody's going to him. Well, of course, that was the very reason why John came, was to point people to Jesus. And we see in these men something that is so typical of us as people. We just have a tendency toward latching on to a person, to a favorite pastor or teacher or leader, and then, you know, becoming sometimes even a bit divided up over our loyalty to a person. And this has been something that has happened all throughout history. And I think there's a lesson for us in that, because we're living in a day when there's a lot of that sort of thing going on. I am of this pastor, or I am of that pastor. Everybody has their favorites. We need to remember that there's a bigger picture. It's not just the thing that we're doing. God's doing something that is much bigger than us. And if we are only interested in our little thing that's happening, then we're going to miss out on a lot of good stuff that the Lord is doing. And we're going to be causing problems, really. And so rather than sitting in judgment and finding fault and being critical and, you know, I can't believe they're doing that program over there or whatever. Hey, if people are coming to faith in Jesus Christ, we ought to be thanking God for it. And we look forward to the opportunities to disciple them if they should come our way. So let's learn a lesson from what we see here. John, in his humility, he beautifully deflected this situation and he just turned their attention back to the Lord. Remember, Paul said that people preach Christ for all different kinds of reasons. He acknowledged in his day some had pure motives, some had impure motives. But what did he say? He said, you know what? All I care about is Christ is being preached. I'm going to rejoice in that. And I think today we are living in a time when there needs to be a show of strength and unity among Christians. And we can't be divided up over non-essential things. Now, John goes on and he says to them, he says, he must increase. I decrease. That was his position. Now, that statement summarizes the goal of the Christian life. More of Jesus, less of me. Self is the greatest obstacle to Christian maturity. Did you realize that? It's not the devil. It's not the world. It's self that is the greatest obstacle to Christian maturity. We live in the age of self. Self-centeredness, self-importance, and self-seeking are not only practiced, but they are encouraged and promoted from every conceivable avenue. It's the generation of self, and the church has not been exempt from that mentality. Man's natural bent is toward loving and pleasing self. That's why Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You see, if we're going to succeed, if we're going to attain maturity in the faith in these days, we are going to have to radically go against the grain, because the grain is in the direction of self and pleasing self and serving self. But Jesus Christ has called us to a totally different approach to life. And if we refuse, as he says here, to go to the funeral of our own independence, we will suffer spiritually because of it. The Lord calls us to sacrifice. He calls us to denying ourselves. And we shouldn't think it strange that that is what he does. But I think what's happened is we've been so influenced by the world and so indoctrinated through the philosophy of the world that nowadays, a lot of times, we think it completely strange that God would require any sort of sacrifice from us. But of course, we've got the biblical record on our side. The Bible tells us this over and over and over again. But Jesus said it. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. We must, at times, for the sake of the call of God, deny ourselves the comforts of home or familiarity. Did you know that God might require that of you at certain times? Sometimes, in order to fulfill God's call, we're going to have to step out of the comfort zone. And we might have to go into somewhat of an uncomfortable situation. We're going to have to, at times, step away from what we're familiar with and go into unfamiliar territory. You see, that's the way God's work expands. He calls people to make sacrifices. He blesses, he rewards for the sacrifices that are made, but it is a sacrifice. And it's not always easy. Sometimes it's very challenging. But just because it's difficult, just because it's challenging, doesn't mean that God's not in it. A lot of times, that's the impression that people give. So Jesus said it, and John demonstrated it and reminded us of it. He, notice, must increase. And he does that by increasing the presence and the life of God within us. What is our position that we take? It's a position of decreasing. He must increase, John says. And then he says, I decrease. The must is added. And you know, the must there is in the sense that he will increase. You know, that's the reality. Jesus Christ will increase. He must. You'll either let him increase or you will be left behind You see, that's the thing. The Lord's going to do what he's going to do. And he is going to increase. His influence is going to increase. His presence is going to increase. His power is going to increase. His dominion is going to increase. It's going to encompass the whole universe. And all the protestation in the world, all of the people who say, I don't like that, I don't agree with it, that shouldn't happen that way, does it matter in the least? Absolutely not. He must increase. But in our lives personally, that's what God desires. God is wanting us to be becoming more and more like Jesus Christ with each passing year. That's what he's working to do. He's working to transform us into the image of his son. The must is added by the translators. It's literally, he must increase, I decrease. When you think about who Jesus is, that's the emphasis needs to be on him. He must increase. Who am I? That's the idea. In comparison, how could I ever think for a moment that I must increase? No, the opposite is true. He must increase. I must decrease. That's my role. My role is to be disappearing. You know, isn't that so opposite of the natural tendency? By nature, man wants to increase more and more. He wants to leave his mark. He wants to make an impression. He wants to be seen as something. But God's plan is that we would all decrease and Christ would more and more and more be seen. So it's a matter of decreasing, realizing how unimportant we really are. You know, it's easy sometimes to start thinking that we're more important than we are. And we can get an inflated view of our importance. The Lord has a great way of just reminding us that, you know, he's done okay without us. He's going to do just fine when we're long gone. We're not all that important to the equation. Any importance we have is just, again, it's the grace of God. It's the goodness of God. It's because of who he is and what he has done. Now, John the Baptist, he seeks to raise these men up to a proper perspective on this whole thing. They were zealous for John. They just couldn't understand why Jesus was becoming more popular and John less popular. But John tells him in verse 31, he who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He basically says to him, you know, understand this. He must increase. I decrease. I'm earthly. I'm from the earth. I'm just like you. But he is from above. He's the Lord from heaven. And what John was wanting them to understand was, you know, again, it wasn't about anybody's personal agenda. It wasn't about anybody's personal popularity. It was about God. It was about the Lord himself. And that's what the church is about. And that's what our lives are about. You know, whenever a church starts emphasizing the name of a man, you know you're going in the wrong direction. You think of Lutheranism. People say, well, I'm a Lutheran. Or you think of Calvinism. People say, I'm a Calvinist. Now, what is that except getting things radically out of proportion? Why would any Christian want to identify with a man when they could and should identify with Jesus Christ? Luther was earthly. He was of the earth. Calvin was earthly. He was of the earth. and every other man in history that people have followed after or taken their name and, you know, put it as the title for their allegiance or their denomination. And whether it's a man's name or maybe you're a little more sensitive than that, we're not going to put a man's name up, but we're going to take and we're going to elevate the name of our movement. See, all of these things have a built-in danger that ultimately somewhere down the road, we're going to lose sight of what this is really all about. And we as folks here at Calvary Chapel, we are not exempt from those kinds of possibilities. We need to be careful ourselves. You know, as a Christian going out into the community, when I meet somebody who tells me, you know, maybe in conversation you ask, are you a Christian? They say, oh, well, I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Presbyterian, or I'm a Catholic, or something like that. Now, we have not yet developed to the point where we say I'm a Calvary Chapelite, but a lot of times in our conversation, that's what we're sort of communicating, you know, because we're just talking about Calvary Chapel and Calvary Chapel this and Calvary Chapel that and Calvary Chapel there, to the point where sometimes, you know, it seems like we don't even realize there are Christians outside of the borders of Calvary Chapel. And so we've got to be careful because that's a human tendency. That's what people do. And like I said, we're not exempt from it. So we've got to remember that Jesus, he's the one. This is all about the centrality of Jesus Christ. That's who we're talking about here. That's who we've gathered together to worship. That's who we praise and honor. That's who was crucified for us. That's who rose from the dead. That's who's coming back again. And that's what John the Apostle goes on to remind us of in the remainder of this chapter, because when we move into verse 30, the latter part of verse 31, verse 32, it's here, I believe, that John the Apostle picks up and he says, he who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. And so the way John brings this around finally is he basically says that at the end of the day, it's all about Jesus. He says that he is from heaven. He speaks the words of God. He has the fullness of the Spirit. He is loved by the Father, and he is the dividing line between heaven and hell. Jesus is the central figure of the Christian faith. And he is to be the focal point of our affection, our adoration, our worship. And when we think of spiritual leaders, we need to remember, as Paul told the Corinthians, that we are simply workers together with God. And that we're not to be elevating one man above another. Now, granted, it might be that there are certain people that you are ministered to by in a more significant way than others. That's fine. It's understandable. That's why God has different people ministering, because there are different likes and tastes, and people relate better sometimes with one person over another. But we have to be careful that our preferences don't turn into divisions, that we don't develop an attitude, a negative attitude toward that other person that we're not so inclined to be learning that much from. But we just recognize that, well, God has that person ministering, and he's got a lot of people that grow and learn from him too. We have to fight against this and keep Jesus at the center of everything, because that's where he belongs. And that's what John the Baptist did. And John could do that because he was a truly humble man. He was seeking to do nothing but what God had appointed him to do. And as we remain humble and keep pointing people back to Jesus, we're going to receive the blessing from that. Now, is it possible to put too much of an emphasis on Jesus Christ? Is that a problem that we might need to address? Received a phone call yesterday, and a man told us about a fellow that he works with who passes by and sees him reading his Bible and came in to let him know that he felt that he was putting far too much of an emphasis on Jesus Christ. And he said to the fellow reading his Bible, he said, you know, things are a lot more complicated than that. You need to grow and expand beyond just this fixation on Jesus. You need to realize it's a big world and lots of big issues and lots of complicated things. Jesus, this whole preoccupation with Jesus is very simplistic. Can you overemphasize Jesus Christ? I don't think so. I don't think it's even possible, because he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and the last. He is the beginning and the end. Everything started with him, and everything will end with him. I think the more you emphasize Jesus, the smarter you are, the wiser you are, because in the end, it's all coming down to him. And all these things that seem so complicated and difficult and incomprehensible maybe at this point, Jesus will solve those things in an instant, because he is the Lord. And so it's all about him. He must increase. We must decrease. Maybe there are areas in your life where the Lord is saying to you, you need to decrease. I want to increase my presence in your life in that area, because I want to work in you and I want to work through you, but you are blocking my ability to work. You're hindering me because you're in the way. You've got to decrease. You've got to deny yourself in that area. You've got to turn away from that attitude, perhaps. You've got to turn away from that position that you've taken. You've got to withdraw yourself from that situation, perhaps. You know God is speaking to you particularly about what's going on. But you see, as long as you are trying to increase, then Jesus is being diminished in and through your life and in that situation that he wants to work in. So you've got to take that position of decreasing, of just saying, Lord, forgive me for impeding your progress. Forgive me for blocking your way. Lord, I'm just going to get out of the way. And as you do that, and as you let him increase, you're going to see a blessing come in that situation. May God help us to follow the example of John the Baptist. Lord, we thank you that you want to increase your presence in our lives. You want to increase your power. You want to increase your love working in us and flowing from us. Lord, you want to basically just manifest yourself through us. And so, Lord, move us in that direction, that we would decrease. Lord, that you would increase and be glorified. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
Here in today's lesson, we see that John the Baptist has given an example of how to decrease and let the Lord increase as we continue our daily Christian walk. We'll continue with more of our study through the Gospel of John in our next lesson, but right now I'd like to remind you, if you've missed any part of today's message or would like to order a copy for a friend or a loved one, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled, He Must Increase. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT3227. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts and vodcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.